Now, we could sum up. Now, you could add other words. You could add the words value, worth, acceptance, belong, affirmation. But all those words are summed up in these four. How do I know those are my spiritual needs? But you can't escape this, can you? How do you feel when you feel unloved? Does it feel right or do you feel off? Yeah. How do you feel when you feel like you have no purpose in life? Do you feel well or do you feel off? You feel off. Something's not right. Do you like insecurity? No. Do we like to feel insignificant? No. I've traveled all around the world asking this question, and I've yet to have somebody says, Chad, I love to be unloved. And, I just love the feeling of insecurity and to be insignificant. It just makes me feel so good. Nobody's ever said that. From the Bush tribe in India to the populated of Johannesburg, nobody has once said that they love those things. We like the opposite of them because it suits us. So we know that God made me with this body, soul, and spirit to be given love, purpose, security, and significance. Amen? Can we all agree on that? Yeah. So it's very important. But the thing is, where are you going to look to get those needs met? Yes, donuts. Some do, right? I just wish this donut would love me back, right? That is the million-dollar question is where, and that's what I just want you right now in your own mind and heart, I want you to seriously ask the question, where are you looking to get your deepest needs met, your deepest need for love, purpose, security, significance, value, worth, acceptance, belong? Because this can wreak havoc in a relationship, a marriage relationship, or a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance relationship. Because I thought I'm marrying you, I thought I'm going to marry you so you can meet that need for me, spouse. You're supposed to meet my need for love, purpose, security, and significance, but I want you to know now, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your fiance, your husband or wife were never dealt those cards to meet those needs for you. They were never in the playbook. They're always meant for you to find that in the Lord. We are to go to the Lord. Remember, I believe I showed you this verse last week. And my God will meet all your, what does it say? Needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It is God and God alone who is supposed to meet those needs for you. All of your needs for value and worth. But here's the problem, okay? Let's go back to the creation of man. And remember, God pointed out two trees, correct? What were those two trees? The tree of the knowing good and bad, right? Knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of life, right at the beginning of Genesis. Go back and read it if you want. He pointed, now there was many trees in that garden, but he chose those two trees. And he said, go ahead and eat from the tree of life. Go ahead, come and know life. But I do not want you to eat from the tree of knowing good and bad. Now why? Why would he not want us eating from the, isn't it good to know what good and bad is? Why would he say don't eat from that tree? Because he said if you eat of the fruit of that tree, knowing good and bad, you will surely die. Right? You will surely die if you eat of it. Now, should a Christian avoid evil? Yes. Should a Christian avoid good? Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Well, but he said don't eat from the knowing good and bad. What is he talking about? That's why we have to break down these things so we can come in. What is God saying? Because isn't good good? Did you know that good can become the enemy of the best? For example, it's good that I want to be a good dad for my kids. That's good, right? I really want to be a good dad. But the best is to allow him to be the good dad through me to my kids. Because I will fall short, amen? Apart from him, we can do nothing. So Lord, would you come be the father that my kids need me to be? Because I can't do it. Right? Good can become the enemy of the best. Here's what God's talking about. If you ate from the fruit of that tree of knowing good and bad, If you eat on the bad side of the tree, it produces a condition called unrighteousness. Say it with me. Ready? Unrighteousness. If you eat from the good side of the tree, it produces a condition called self-righteousness. Say it with me. Self-righteousness. Right? And self-righteousness always leads to unrighteousness. How self-righteous were the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the teachers of the law? Pretty self-righteous, right? And that self-righteousness led to unrighteousness, for they killed God. They crucified him. Right? Self-righteousness always leads to unrighteousness. So what problem did this create for us when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree? Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through the one man, Adam, and death came through that sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of us thought, man, if we could just go back to that day when they saw the fruit, we could just get back there and just choose differently. Do you think God was surprised and shocked that they ate it? Do you think God was like, don't, I can't believe it. No, I refuse to think that Jesus was plan B. Jesus was always plan A. It was always part of his plan, right? To have his life in us, amen? That was part of the plan. But what problem did it create by them eating the fruit of the tree? Well, we're born dead in our spirit to God, right? Because it said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, we talked about this. What part died? Was it the body, soul, or spirit? Spirit. The death occurred here. And what problem did that create for us? Yeah. Right? It's like the veil. The veil in the Old Testament temple, right? So you had the outer courts, you had the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, right? And there was a veil that was 6 to 8 inches thick, right? From top to bottom. And God was on the other side in the Ark of the Covenant. And it means you could get close, just not close enough. Amen? And do you know what they would do? They would draw lots to see who got to go in every year and offer all the sacrifices to God. Right? And they said it was like a pool of blood flowing out of the, it was like a river of blood flowing out from all of the sacrificing going on. Because something had to be shed for the forgiveness of sin. And so they would draw lots. And the priest, oh, you got the longest straw, you got to go in. And what their buddies would do is say, listen, if we've done something wrong, we'll tie a rope around your ankle. If you die, I'm not coming in to get you, but I will pull you out. Thanks, buddy. Right? Thanks, friend. Right? Do you remember when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the temple? And the one guy thought it was about to fall, and what did he do? He touched it, and what happened? It killed him. Why? Because there's no transformer to ground him from the power and the holiness of God. Because Christ had yet to come in him. Amen? It had not happened yet. So the veil represented you can get near, but not near enough. So we have a problem. We're born dead in our spirit to God. We're not born dead to God. If you're born dead to God, you're dead. But you're born dead in your spirit to God. So what does that mean? Well, now that means my need for love, purpose, security, and significance can no longer be met by him, because I have a break in connection with him. Amen? But I have these needs. God made me with this body, soul, and spirit to be given love and security and significance and value and worth. But if God can't meet them because I'm born dead in my spirit to God, where am I going to look to get those needs met? Because I can't get away from it, can I? These serial killers, I look into all kinds of things, but it's really interesting, the lives of some of these serial killers. And a lot of them, they grew up not knowing love. They knew hate and they knew evil. and they became a distortion of what God meant us to be because they knew new love. We have to have those needs met, don't we? Otherwise, we become a distortion. We get miscued. So we need him in so many ways. But if God can't meet my needs for those things, and this is important in relationships, so I hope everybody's listening. This is so key to have a healthy relationship with other people in your life. Then where are you going to go looking to get those needs met if God can't meet them? You're going to go looking to people, right? And how well is that working for you? It doesn't work. Remember I told you it's like milking a mouse. You could get in there and you can milk a mouse, right? But how much do you really get? You're never satisfied, are you? Right? Oh, I just got, come back. Tell me I'm loved. Tell me I'm safe. No, tell me again. Tell me I'm secure. And I'm never, ever completely satisfied or fulfilled, am I? And that's what it's like getting your needs met out of another person, right? It'll never fulfill you. It will never satisfy you because God alone can only meet those needs. Amen. Now, here's what that looks like in a marriage relationship. We talked about that, right? So here's the husband, here's the wife, and we're supposed to look to God to meet our needs, and God can meet those through your spouse, through your wife, or the opposite way around. But if God meets our needs, does he not get the say on how he's going to meet them for you? Amen. Have you ever woke up and the person you're used to getting love out of are having a really bad day and they're not extending any love to you at all? Right? And then you're going to try and fight and then you're going to argue and you will argue and you will spat and you will fight and you'll have conflict because I'm trying to get needs met out of you that I need met and you're frustrating me. And you will constantly be frustrated because you're not supposed to look to another human being for those needs. Amen. You're supposed to find that in the Lord. And if he meets your needs, then he has the prerogative on how he's going to meet them. How many of you have felt loved through your work or felt secure and significant through your work? Yeah, amen. How many of you felt that from a parent or a friend? Yeah, amen. And I told you the story of how it worked a long time ago, years ago, when God was giving me this picture, and it worked out how it worked out with my wife. And God met it another way. He has the prerogative. Now, the deception is thinking that it was this person who met your needs. Ultimately, it is God. Now, you might think your workplace provides for you financially. That can drop at a heartbeat, couldn't it? Right? I remember my dad, he worked in a mine for years. He worked underground in a potash mine for years and years. And he thought he had security. And they asked him to come up and do dispatch because there's nobody with the experience. But nobody told him when he did that, he would lose his seniority. And then a water problem came and that delayed people off. Well, who was the first to go? He was. Even though he had the longest seniority, all of a sudden, boom, gone. Well, very quickly you will learn, it's not my workplace that provides for me. It's just the means by which God chose to provide for you, amen? But it's always him. So the deception is thinking, if you are not looking to God, and you look over here to whatever this is, work, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, relationship, parent, everything will go to hell in a handbasket because those people cannot meet your needs. But if you're looking to the Lord, sometimes the person that you're used to getting met, it won't work. And you'll find out really quickly where you're looking to get your needs met. Because if you get angry and frustrated, I know you were looking to another man, another woman to get your needs met, right? God wants us absolutely looking to him who lives within. Amen? You don't have to go very far. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. I know where you live. You're right here with me. I look to you. And I told you, I wake up and I'll look at myself in the mirror and I'll tell my heart, heart, we bow to the Lord Jesus today. We look to him. He fills us. Nothing in this world will satisfy you. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, right? Why? Because it's constantly looking to the things of this world to fill it instead of knowing that we're filled by Him. Amen? It is Him who fills us completely. Here's the beauty of this, okay? In your relationships, and I want everybody to hear this. The beauty of this is if you're looking to the Lord, your spouse, your fiance, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your friend, your parent, they're allowed to have a bad day. They're free to have a bad week. They're free to have a bad month and a bad year. Why? Because they don't meet your needs. God does. And it will free you in your relationships. Because if you're looking to them, you are no longer ministering to them. You're manipulating them. And God calls us to ministry, not to manipulation, right? Manipulation is, I'm going to take from you for my good. Ministry is, I'm going to give to you for yours because I have everything I need in Christ. I have given you everything for life and godliness. Amen. He's given us everything. So if you're looking to others, you're trying to manipulate so that you can get your needs met. But if you're looking to the Lord, you're free. You're so free. And the truth will set you free. And who is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and your life. He will free you in your relationships with others. No matter your circumstance right now, He will free you. That's His desire. It is for freedom that I've set you free, it says. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen? The Lord just wants us looking to Him who lives within. Okay. So, today, we're going to continue to talk about inside out. Now, man is created with these spiritual desires that only God can meet, right? We know that. You with me? Okay. And as people, we try to get our needs met in so many different ways, right? We're looking to other things. And so I want to talk about that. And I want you to ask yourself this question right now where you're sitting, just in your head and your heart, where am I looking to get my needs met? Okay. Where am I looking to get my spiritual needs yet, my deepest needs, my need for love, purpose, security, and significance? Where am I looking? I want you to ask yourself that honestly and seriously right now. You know anybody who looks to wealth, to money, to fill them up? Well, that runs pretty rampant in the world, right? Right? How about knowledge, education, right? Yeah, I want to be the smartest person in the room because that makes me feel good. It makes me feel significant as long as I'm one of the smartest people in the room. How about work, your job? Know anybody who tries to get their needs met there? Right? Family. Now, that can be a little sneaky. Right? Well, I'm just trying to be the best mother. I'm just trying to be the best dad I can be. Right? And as long as they respond, and I feel good, I feel loved, and I have a purpose. Right? As a mother, as a father. It's sneaky, but it happens. Now, are any of these things bad? No. But when did they become bad for you? Yeah, when you're looking to them to fill you instead of knowing that it's Him who fills you. Amen? It says He fills you to overflowing. Now, pornography, that kind of runs rampant in North America, Europe today. When I go to those countries, those kind of two continents, I sure deal with that a lot more, right? Because we have more technology and more access to pornography today, don't we? That runs rampant. Lots of people. I know elders in churches, pastors. They're not excluded and exempt from it, right? It runs all over. Do you know how many church leaders that I worked with who are struggling with pornography? It runs rampant. Drugs and alcohol, how is that doing today? Right? Know anybody who's looking for life there? Trying to get my needs met through getting drunk, getting high. Oh, it's just a few tokes on the roach. What do they call those things? Weed pens or something? Weed pens? Right? There's all kinds of, man, there's more technologies and ways to get it. Right? Now, some people use it even for medicine, right? Medicinally. What about religion? Church? That's a little covert. Well, Chad, come on. Pastor Chad, you know, no church, come on. I remember when I was pastoring down in Lower Mainland, and I had this, the children's ministry leader of the whole thing. It was a big church down there. It was a church of about 800 people. And so she had a whole bunch of things to organize for children's ministry. She was the head of children's ministry. And I remember she came into my office one day and she said, Pastor Chad, whatever you do, please do not take the children's ministry away from me. It's all I have left. And I didn't say anything like I was or anything like that. But she had stuff going on in her life. All these areas that she was looking to that she got life out of. And all of a sudden, God allowed those places to no longer allow her to get her needs met. And she says, please, whatever you do, do not take the children's ministry. It's all I have left. And I looked and I said, what? What do you mean? She goes, it's all I have left. I said, sister, you have so much more. You have the living God inside of you. You have everything you need. You don't need the children's ministry to make you feel good about yourself. You have purpose in Christ. You have significance in Christ. Amen? So I said, sister, it's the very thing I should take from you until you learn to look to Him who lives within. And then watch what God can do through you as the children's ministry leader. Amen? Do you see the difference? We look to all these things. You know, there is a difference between Christianity and religion, right? Religion is, it's man trying to get a hold of God, right? That's what religion is. It's man trying to get a hold of God. But the Christian faith that we're talking about and preaching about is God getting a hold of man and working his way out of him, right? Right? Religion is man trying to get a hold of God. It doesn't work. Do you know in all of these religious texts, right, we have a Bible, some have the Quran, there's all kinds of different texts written. Do you know that the Christian Bible is the only one that uses the word freedom? Did you know that? It's the only one that uses that word freedom. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus is the only one who can truly set you free. And Krispy Kreme donuts. Yes, there is. I love circles. This is true. Let me erase those things. Now, a lot of people will also get their needs met. And I just want to mention this last thing, because this runs pretty rampant today, by being the center of attention. As long as I'm the center of attention and everybody's telling me how great I am, I'm fine. But if people start to avoid me and I start to get pushed to the outside, I don't feel so good. I saw it in youth ministry. I had the privilege and blessing of working in youth ministry for quite a number of years. And I remember I'd see it, you know, the person would come into youth group, and he's the bubbly guy, and he's the cool guy, and hair done, and he's that. He comes and bounces around, hey, 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 and everybody's like, hey. And all of a sudden, all of his trying to be the center isn't working, and everybody's avoiding. And all of a sudden, then I'd see them in a corner, kind of all sad, and oh. And I said, well, man, he came in pretty happy, and now he's all sad. And then all the youth would come, oh, are you okay? What's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay? And then secretly he's like, no, yeah, yeah. But then everybody would come around him. What's going on? Yeah, manipulation, right? I'm manipulating everybody around me to tell me I'm important, tell me I'm awesome. And guess what? Adults do it too. It just looks a little different, right? It just looks a little different. Again, I want you to look at this and say, where are you looking? Where are you looking right now today? Because I promise you'll have such healthy relationships if you're looking to the Lord. You will. Because then you don't need anything out of that person. That's how you can love your enemy. Remember when Jesus said that? How can you love your enemy if you're looking to them to get a need met? Right? You can't. It's impossible. During the wartime, they could not deal with that. You know, C.S. Lewis, he dealt with every passage but that one. Love your enemies, because that's a tough one. How do I do that when I'm throwing bullets at them? Right? Love your enemy. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute. The only way you will do that is if you're looking to the Lord. If you're looking to people, it is impossible to love the enemy. All right. Capiche? We got it? If you believe God will not meet your needs, you will begin to look everywhere else. If you don't truly believe that God can meet your need for love, purpose, security, and significance, you will look everywhere else. And ultimately, don't we know, especially if you journeyed as much as I have, some of you even more, don't you ultimately know those things don't meet your needs? Like there's still emptiness there? Right? Do you know, like when you buy a new car, for example? I got a new car and it's awesome, right? And it's so great. I love it. I love my new car. But then after a month, it's just my car now, right? It doesn't cut it anymore, right? It goes away. Good feeling gone, right? It goes away. Because we ultimately know none of these things meet your need. But if you're not looking to God, then you have to look to them because you're trying to milk the mouse. I'm trying to make it work. And it doesn't. It's like the guy, he started, this was a long time ago, a buddy of mine. He started with a 15-inch TV. I don't even think they make those anymore. Right? Right? Maybe, yeah. Laptop now, but a TV, it was 15-inch. That's what we had growing up. And we were really close together as a family, I tell you. Everybody snuggle in, right? And then, the 15-inch didn't cut it. And then he got a 21-inch, right? Oh, yeah, 21. That's better. And then after a while, that didn't cut. I need a 27. That used to be like the Skookum TV, 27 inches, guys. It was heavy, big tube on the back of it. I remember carrying that thing around when we moved. Hated that thing. And then the 32 came out. Oh, the 32. And then he got a 32. And then he got a 41. And then he got a 48. Then he got a 52. And then he got a 56. Now he got a projector when the projectors came out. Right? And then he got a nice sound system. But then he found out there's surround sound. Then he got Dolby 1.0. Then Dolby 2.0. Dolby 3. I mean, he had it all. Now, is any of that bad? No, it's not bad. But it becomes bad when you're trying to get life out of something that's dead. It will never meet your deepest needs for love, purpose, security, and significance. Now, let me just briefly look at it this way. Our heart is like a chasm, okay? And if you don't recognize that He fills your chasm in your heart, because God talks about the heart a lot in the Bible, doesn't He? Right? He talks about the heart a lot. And if you don't recognize, as it says in Scripture, that He fills you full to overflowing, then you will look to other things like TV, like food. Let's not talk about food. Sex, control, right? Drugs, alcohol. And if you don't recognize that He fills you, if you're feeling empty, then you will go looking for those things to fill that chasm. And here's the interesting thing. Your appetite will go up naturally when you're feeling empty. You'll want more and more and more of it. Tell me I'm loved more and more and more. No, no, no. And at first, maybe your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, spouse, whatever, they only asked once a day. But now they're asking more and more and more and more. Because when you don't sense that you're full and you're empty, you got to fill it. What happens when your vehicle's empty? You go fill it, right? And then it gets empty again. You have to fill it. It gets empty again. That is pressure on a relationship. Well, fill me. Well, I'm empty. Well, okay, well, fill me. Well, I'm empty. Well, fill me. Well, I'm... That just creates pressure in a relationship. Amen? But when you know that He fills, hey, what do you need? Well, let me pray for you. Let me point you to Jesus. He will meet your needs beyond what you could even ask or imagine. If only you'd trust Him. You know, one of my favorite holidays of the year is Thanksgiving. Who here loves Thanksgiving? I really do. Like, I love. I've been to American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving. One year I got to go to both. I felt like the luckiest man on earth. And I tell you, I had to go buy a new belt. I'm not even going to lie. Right? And I love Thanksgiving because We allow ourselves to eat until we have to get the bathrobe on, right? 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 And so we'll eat. And we eat, and it's so good, the gravy and the potatoes and the stuffing. Oh, my goodness. And we get sometimes pierogies, too, so I double up on the carbs, you know? And I love Thanksgiving, and you eat and eat. And my grandma, when she was alive, she knew that at Thanksgiving, her sweet, sweet grandson loves pumpkin pie. And I love pumpkin pie. But I loved grandma's pumpkin pie because she made it from scratch, even the shell of the pie. And she'd make it, and she put a lot of work into making that pumpkin pie. And the way she made it, it was the most delicious pumpkin pie, I swear, that you would ever taste it. And she came late one year to Thanksgiving. And she had made two pies. But unfortunately, I had already stuffed my face. And I ate so much, I was so full, the bathrobe was already on. And Grandma comes in, and I could smell it, but it wasn't appealing to me. And Grandma says, "Chad, sweetie, I brought your favorite pumpkin pie, just fresh out of the oven." I said, "Oh, Grandma, your timing's horrible today." "Why?" I said, "I can't eat it." She goes, "But you loved my pumpkin pie. I even brought fresh whipped cream." I said, "Grandma, I can't. I can't eat it. I am so full. I am so stuffed. I cannot eat that pumpkin pie." She goes, "But honey, you love it. I made two this year." I said, "Grandma, I can't." She goes, "Eat." "Grandma, look on the top of my throat. You can see the food. I'm full. I can't eat. It's right there." What happened? I was so full that that pie lost all of its appeal to me. It had no appeal left to it because I was stuffed. I was full. And this is the same how it goes in your Christian life. If you recognize you're so full in the Lord, you're full to overflowing, that He fills you, that there's nothing that this world can offer you, there's nothing that no person can give to you because He has stuffed you. You're so full in Him that the things of this world, they lose their appeal to you. The temptation for them goes down. But if you're not looking to Him, you will look everywhere else. And it won't fill you. It won't satisfy you. You'll lose your peace. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose everything. Because when He fills, your appetite for these things will drop naturally. Amen? A lot of today's Christian counseling, I've been privileged and blessed to work with different, I remember when I was in Denmark, they sent a company of psychologists and counselors to the conference I was doing down there, and it was on their main TV station down in Denmark, which that always felt weird. I felt pressure all of a sudden, and I couldn't move. You know what, the guy, he made a box for me, and he says, "You cannot move outside of the box." Do you know how hard that was for me? Because I talk with my feet and my hands, you know. I might even spit on you, you know. But I had to stay in this box. And one of the things that I talked with them about, because they asked to have a meeting with me, and so I had a separate lunch meeting with them in Copenhagen. And I said, so much of today's Christian counseling is focused on getting people to stop sinning. But I want to focus them on Christ, which by default stops the sin. Right? Right? I'm not saying we don't talk about sin and all that. Please understand me. And I'm not light on sin because my God died for it. He paid for it, so I'm not light on it. But I've noticed something. If I keep focusing people on the sin, what happens? Well, they lose their joy still. Right? But if I focus them on the God who paid for it all, by default, they somehow stop sinning. Right? Because they see the God who paid for it all. I want to recognize that He fills me full to overflowing. Amen? Okay, everybody read this together on the count of three. One, two, three. And my... Oh, man, I love that. Thank you. How about this one? Read this one together. Amen. You know, the other 32 verses before that verse, Jesus is talking about do not worry. Do not worry. Now, I'm not going to lie. When Pastor Clay texted me and said the house is sold, my heart leapt out of my chest. I'm not going to lie. I'm human. I have emotion. Right? Oh, no. Oh, no. Where am I going to live? I don't have money, Lord. What am I going to do? There's nothing to rent in this town. Well, Lord, I seek you. My hands are tied. I look to you, and I look forward to us sharing together on what God's going to do, however he's going to do it. Amen? My God will meet all of our needs if you would just look to him who lives within. This world has nothing to offer you. It will not work. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, whatever it is. But if you don't have relationship with him, if you haven't discovered the love that God has for you, if you don't know him, only know about him, you will look to the world because you're not connected. You need to know him. Know the love that he has for you, the care that he has. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, right? He will provide all of our needs. I promise you. And if you're looking to God, I promise you, you will have such health in your relationships with others. You will. You'll have such health in your relationship with others because you're not going to manipulate them to get your needs met because you already have them met in Christ, right? That's why Jesus couldn't be moved. And John, he says, I don't live for the praises of men. They're giving him a praise. I don't live for your praises. I live for my Father, and he's already told me he's pleased with me, and I'm loved, right? And Jesus lived out of that identity his whole life. That's why he couldn't be moved, because he knew I am family. I am the Son of the Most High God. He loves me. And if you know that, you won't be moved. The things of this world won't even tempt you because you have a deep relationship with him that's rooted deep in Christ. You know he loves you. You know he's trustworthy. You know you can depend on him. Amen? He who eats from that tree of knowing good and bad has to be responsible because he who knows all good and bad has to be responsible for all. That's why God says, don't eat of it. You're not an adult of God. You're a child of God. I'll take the responsibility, and I'll let you know when you need to know. Amen? I'll let you know. Since the beginning of time, man has always wanted to know, right? They wanted to know, but God says, don't know good and bad. Know life. Eat from the tree of life. And who is life? It's not what is, but who? I am the way, the truth, and the? I am the resurrection and your. So come to know me. Don't worry about that tree. I got you. I'll be responsible. And when you need to know, I'll let you know. Just keep eating from my life. Amen? And not in a cannibalistic way. Remember Jesus did that teaching and a lot of his disciples left because they couldn't understand it. Okay. Amen? Capiche? We good? Okay. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for your truth that really does set us free. God, it is a hope, not of uncertainty as the world uses that word. We have a hope that is certain and true. So God, thank you that we have hope in you. Thank you that we don't need to worry because you will meet our needs. We just have to trust you. And if we have relationship with you, God, it's easy. But if we don't know you and just know about you, it makes us hesitant. And I'll start to look to the things of this world to fill me, but they will never fill you. God, thank you that apart from you, we can do nothing. Thank you that you're a Father who cares about every detail. Help us, Lord, to continue to look to you in every area of our life so we're free to minister to others, not manipulate them. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, that great, awesome, holy, best name. In that name we pray as a church, and all of God's people said. Amen? Amen? Okay, you are free to go. Enjoy the day, and I will see you hopefully next week.